Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what up, everybody? It's Lane Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode. This is number 98. So,
yo.
98 or something. I don't even know what to lay down for 98, but you know, that's neither here nor there. Maybe Lee has something to throw out there for the number 98.
Hello?
Yeah, you... I said...
Yo,
what
I
up, bro?
I can hear you, bro. What up, man?
Yeah. Yeah, what's going on?
Nothing, man. Just chilling, man.
I was just saying, episode 98, I didn't have... I don't really know what to dedicate to 98, but I said maybe Lee might have something to put down with the number 98.
Man, I don't even know, man. All I know is we get to 100, and that's a good thing. So, you know, 98, here we go.
What you say? We're getting closer to 100?
Yeah, we're at episode 98, so we almost at episode 100.
Yeah, no, I just really couldn't hear what you said. It kind of broke up. Yeah, I remember when we had episode 50, and that was kind of a big deal at the time. And you know what was actually interesting about that is when we did the episode 50, it actually kind of popped off. Like, there was a lot of people that tuned in to that episode just, like, out of nowhere. So I don't know if it was, like, the way that we advertised it or the way that it was kind of put out there, but I don't know if we may have rolled different for that, but people definitely jumped on when they saw episode 50, so that was cool. We'll see what happens with the number, with the episode 100. But anyways, there's a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. You know, one of the things that I just want to put out there off top, because I literally just finished, like, replying to this guy on Twitter. Well, I mean, I didn't really reply because he didn't even mention me, but he posted it, and I just happened to respond to it, and that was literally like 2 minutes ago before we got on. So I just want to you know, honor him real quick. I'm trying to just look up his name real fast so I can tell y'all, shout out the guy who said it. And what was this guy's name? But anyways, he was talking about, oh, yeah, here it is. So shout out to at Harley Combat on Twitter. This guy is one of my followers. I've been following him. I'm pretty sure we've been following each other for a minute. And he posts a lot of stuff that I like. And I just happened to see him post this a few minutes ago before we got on. I had just replied to it. So shout out to at Harley Combat. Maybe he can join us on the show one of these days coming up soon. He's from New York, so shout out to that too. We're both from the East Coast, so that's dope. You know, even though Boston and New York, you know, kind of have a rivalry, but it's all good. I still, you know, East Coast is East Coast. It is what it is. It's East Coast versus West Coast, if anything. So East Coast versus Midwest. But anyways, this dude is cool. Shout out to him. He just posted something, and he was saying about how can you sell a DC and John Jones third fight, but he said it in a much better way than that. And I just want to grab the exact thing. Okay, so he said, never should a fighter be given a third chance to beat someone. When I just read that first sentence, he said that, I already knew what he was talking, like, I thought of this example before I really knew what he was talking about, but I had thought of that. And then he said, one beatdown is enough. Two beatdowns should be complete closure. How do you even try? He said, how do you even try, in all capitals, how do you even try to sell a third fight between Cormier and Jones? And I replied, and I just said to him, I was like, man, I've been trying to say this for a long time, and this inspired me to bring it up again on tonight's show. And I hashtagged it just in case he might have found his way into calling in onto the show if he had, you know, seen my tweet and then checked back on my profile or what like that. But, you know, I just – that right there really inspired me because I almost forgot, and I probably wouldn't have brought that up otherwise because it would have just slipped my mind. But that was something that's been circulating lately and in the past week or week and a half. you know, I guess Cormier had did an interview saying that, I don't know who he did an interview with, but I just saw the headlines come out and it said that, you know, Cormier wants, you know, seeing that the Brock Lesnar fight fell apart because Brock Lesnar is a juicehead turkey. Now he's fighting Stipe Miocic instead. So they're going to have a rematch. And then DC said after that, his, you know, his most, you know, the most ideal ending to his career would be, you know, fight Stipe in this rematch and then get another fight with John Jones and have it be at light heavyweight. So he'd want to go back down to 205 and fight John Jones for the third time. And I just thought that was utterly ridiculous because I'm just thinking to myself, all this time that it's been talked about, I just wondered, why in the hell would anybody want to see that fight again? Like, what would be the intrigue about this? Because the first time you fight a guy and you lose to him, if any rematch that's happened, you know, one guy wins and then, you know, the usual story is the guy who lost, you know, probably gets a lot better, you know, kind of like Poirier and Holloway, even though Poirier won both fights, but it was still like...
Well, great,
you know, Poirier,
Maynard and Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, so like with Poirier beat him, but they were both a lot younger. And then, you know, they fight like, you know, 3-4 years. Or no, for them it was actually 7 years down the line. But, you know, for a lot of guys, 3-4 years down the line as, you know, their skills develop. And then you see them go at it again and see if, you know, kind of a 50-50 thing. See if, all right, maybe my guy can run that one back and catch him this next time. So a rematch is always intriguing. There's always a way to sell it because you just wonder if, oh, can the guy who lost, you know, come back and get a win over him now with how much better he's gotten. But then once the guy comes back and then, you know, pretty much comes up short again like Cormier did, why would you want to see a third fight? I mean, it's kind of just and the fact that this guy on Twitter that had said that, actually the end of his tweet when he said, how could you even possibly sell a third fight? I'm so glad that he like put emphasis on, he said, I'm so glad that he said that, because it's like, I can't even wrap my head around that. How would the UFC sell that to the fans to make that seem like an intriguing fight? Like, what would be, I just don't understand. But, you know, I understand for the people that said, you know, if Jones goes to heavyweight, then I kind of get it, because it you could sell it as being at heavyweight was different. But I mean, it seems like Cormier want to go down to light heavyweight, and John Jones isn't moving up to heavyweight, so that's just not possible. So yeah, I have no idea how you could sell that fight, and it's just kind of bogus to me.
Actually, man, I'm reading the tweets that the guy sent out, and he actually brings up Aldo Holloway also. And, you know, my thing is this. A lot of people are going to say that the head kick knockout doesn't count because John got popped for steroids. But what did your eyes tell you when you watched the fight? Your eyes told you during that fight that, yeah, DC was competitive for about two rounds, a round and a half or whatever, but then John started to shut him down. So when you watching the fight, to me, if you watching with your eyes, not your heart, not wearing no emotion, because a lot of people, when they watch fights, depending on the guys that are fighting, they have a lot of emotion involved. You might hate the guy that your guy's fighting. You might not like the guy that's in the main event. You know, la, 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 la. But at the same time, is when you watching the fight, what does your eyes tell you? Just like when we was watching, just throughout the path a little bit, when we was watching Darren Till versus Tyron Woodley, everybody was hyped going into that fight. Everybody was like, all right, man, so Woodley finally going to get a test, la, 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 la. But when you watch the fight, you would sit here like, damn, Darren Till really isn't even in the same class as Woodley. And it kind of, the eye test said Woodley was going to dominate, which he did. John and DC is like one of these matchups that DC fans really feel that he has a shot at winning. I'm not a Cormier fan. I'm a big John Jones fan. But when we do our show, I'm objective. And there is nothing that I can see DC doing in a third fight against John Jones that will allow him to come out victorious. The only way I see him coming out victorious is if John was to have his first heavyweight fight against a seasoned heavyweight fighter in DC. That's the only way I see DC having a shot at beating him. And I have to look at it from, if I was in John Jones' corner, or if I was in John Jones' camp, I would ask John, what do you have to gain by a third fight against DC? And the answer is nothing. Because even if you look at the record books, he's 1-0 against DC with 1-0 contest. But everybody saw that no contest and remember DC's face after that no contest with him crying in the octagon. I just don't see why the UFC would really want to make this fight. But I understand the business side, because there's a lot of intrigue about John Jones versus DC. Two guys that don't like each other. Two guys that are considered maybe pound for pound the greatest fighters in the UFC to date. And you have the quote-unquote clash of the good guy in DC going against the bad guy in John Jones, because of John Jones' checkered past and DC being considered this upstanding guy. And plus, DC also has the backing of the UFC, because the UFC feel like they owe him something, which I feel they don't, because everything that he do for the company, he's getting compensated for. It's not like he's doing ringside announcement for free. It ain't like he was doing UFC Tonight for free. Everything he was doing for the company, y'all was paying him. So I don't see a third. I don't see John taking a third fight. I see DC pushing for a third fight. But I see the UFC fan base probably clamoring for a third fight, because you probably have half the people that don't like John and half the people that do like John. So that's probably why a third fight will happen. But if I was managing John or in John's camp, I would go heavyweight after DC leaves the company, because he has nothing to prove.
Yeah, no, you know, maybe that we, you know, it could be that there ends up becoming a bigger fight for him at heavyweight down the line after DC leaves the company. You know, I think it might seem unrealistic now to most people. If I said that, you know, people would probably laugh at me, but I think there's a bigger fight at heavyweight. And I'm not necessarily saying there is one right now. I mean, I do think a John Jones and Stipe Miocic fight could be bigger. You know, I do think that could be bigger in terms of sales, and, you know, if the fight were actually booked, just the overall hype of it, you know, especially if one guy were to win and then they have a rematch and the other guy wins, and, you know, that kind of back and forth, I think could be better and just competitively, but especially because of the size, you know, because Miocic is just a lot bigger. You know, Cormier is just a short, stubby guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard for him to get in there with John Jones. You know, in terms of like physique, he's just like completely outmatched. I mean, a lot of people are outmatched in terms of John Jones's reach. You know, any guy you put against on Jones's reach is outmatched. But you know, when you put Miocic there, is a lot bigger guy. I think it's, you know, the playing field is a lot more even. So I think that could really be a better rivalry, you know, those two guys. I also think John Jones and Francis Ngannou could be a really hype fight. I'm not saying that as a rivalry would be bigger. I'm just saying that I think that's would be a really intriguing fight for John at heavyweight. But also just, you know, in terms of just the future, you know, heavyweights that we haven't seen yet, guys coming up or, you know, guys we might not know about or something like this, you know, down the line might just, there might be somebody who comes along. I think that they could create a bigger rivalry with Jones. He's still young in his career. What's he, 31, 32?
Yeah, John is like in his early 30s.
Yeah, so he's still got a lot of time in him. I mean, a lot of Anderson Silva's 44, and he's, say what you want about Silva, but he still looks good. I mean, he's not as fast as he used to be, but he looks fine to me. I mean, in terms of his striking, I think he can, in terms of his striking, I still think he's one of the best guys in that division. And yeah, I'm okay with being, the guy taking, I'm okay with nobody agrees with that, but I still think he's one of the best strikers in actually the UFC period. I really don't think there's a lot of guys that can outstrike Anderson Silva. Him versus Whitaker or something like that. I mean, Whitaker, I'd probably take Whitaker, but other than that, I mean, Silva could probably outpoint mostly all these guys. I don't know about his knockout power at 44 years old, but in terms of just the overall ability to, you know, going strike for strike, we saw how he did versus Adesanya. So, and that's just an interesting point too, because he's going to be fighting Jared. I think it's Conner. I've been pronouncing his name wrong.
It's Jared Conner.
Yeah, Conner. Yeah, he's going to be fighting Jared Conner this weekend, and that's another thing that I we'll get back to. I didn't mean to sidetrack into it, but you know, that's something that I'm going to want to talk about a little later on.
But yeah, I don't understand how you could sell that fight. You know, the DC and Jones is just kind of,
it's just played out at this point. One guy's 2-0. You know, people want to say there's an asterisk because of steroids, but I really don't think there's an asterisk. I mean, the guy still won 2 times, regardless of anything. I mean, steroids is a really interesting thing, because when you really think about it, it's like, look at some of the guys who were on steroids. Like, some of them, their legacy really kind of got erased, more or less. But some of the guys, you still think of them when you think of that sport. Like Lance Armstrong, like, you know, for some people say, you know, might say his legacy got erased, but at the same time, like, you still remember Lance Armstrong dominating the Tour de France, you know, that, you know, all those championships, all those medals. So we still remember him of that, you know, even though you could say there's a mental asterisk. I don't even know how to say that word, but you know what I mean.
Asterisk.
A lot of these guys, their legacy still doesn't get fully erased. And people that want to say it doesn't count at all because of steroids are more than likely just not a fan of the guy. So that really what that comes down to. But if you're one of these juice-head turkeys like Brock Lesnar, then everything doesn't count for you because you're just a juice-head turkey. And that's just all that is.
But, you know, like where I wrote about my piece, when I wrote my article on PEDs and fighters' legacy, it goes down to a personal choice, because each person has their own feelings or emotions invested in a fighter. Like I said in the article I wrote, people always thought Cyborg was on steroids. And then when she got popped and she served her suspension and she came back, the fans embraced her even more when she came back. It was like, wow. I thought people would really be turned off by her because of her steroid use. But then when you look at John Jones, he was dominant as a champ. Then he got popped. Then he came back, and it was like more people hate him now than they did before. So it all depends on your personal feelings towards a fighter. You either like the person or you don't. You either value the competition they fought before they got popped, or you value the competition that they fighting now after they assert their suspension after you saw them. I think for me, I look at every fighter as different. I think Cyborg would be dominant even without steroids. She would have been dominant. She should have never had to use steroids to be a dominant fighter because she was so much bigger, stronger than all her competitors. If you go back and watch that original Cyborg versus Gina Carano fight, Gina Carano was a beast at the time. What Cyborg did to her was damn near criminal because Carano didn't even look like herself after that fight. John, I would say, John probably is more, he's probably the same skilled guy in the octagon today as he was then, because he's not a guy that's going to get in there and stand in vain and, you know, try to trade shots. He's going to beat you more in a technical game than he is in a physical game. But, you know, once again, it goes down to whether or not you like a guy or not. I think a lot of people right now that didn't like TJ Dillashaw because he left Uriah Faber in them, that gives them more ammunition to hate him. And people that like TJ, they're going to come up with an excuse of why he did it. He used steroids so that he can remain stronger going down to 125 to fight Henry Cejudo, even though he lost in under 20 seconds. But people that like a fighter will come up with excuses. I think we as the UFC MMA fan base, we're entitled to our own thoughts, our own opinions, and we can't bash another person's thoughts and opinions if they feel opposite of us. And that's just the way it is right now. It's like, if I like somebody, you're going to hate that guy because he used PED. If I like this young lady, if I don't like this young lady, somebody going to attack me because they're going to say, you don't like her because she used PED. So, really, it's a no-win situation. But all I do is I ask all UFC, MMA fans to just look at the fight, look at what you see with your eyes, and base your opinion off performance and past history. That's all I ask.
Well, actually, you know, that actually just makes me think about the next thing that I wanted to say is this other dude on Twitter. I'm not even going to what's the dude's name? I think it's like Big Tone, something like that. Big Tone MMA. I think it's Big Tone. Yeah, Big Tone. This guy said he had a picture of McGregor when he was for the Floyd Mayweather fight, and when they were at like on the stage or something, I guess like McGregor, I think it was the weigh-ins, and McGregor was, you could really see his legs, and like he just looked really muscular in this certain like frame, and he like flexed for the crowd, and the guy had the still picture of it, and then he tweeted on top of it, you know, in the caption, and he was like, there's no way that McGregor wasn't juiced out of his mind for this fight or juiced to the gills for this fight or something like that. And that just made me think to myself, like, you know how much drug testing that you have to go through to be able to fight Mayweather? Like, that's the reason, you know, I'm not an expert on the history of boxing, but I'm pretty sure that's the reason, and that's the most reason why it took so long for us to see the Pacquiao and Mayweather fight, was because Pacquiao had accusations come out about him years ago about, you know, taking IVs and stuff like this before fights. So Floyd don't want to fight a dirty fighter, and he's very serious about that. And you have to go through a lot of testing, a lot more than you go through with the UFC to fight Floyd Mayweather. And even Jeff Nowitzki from USADA came out and said that McGregor, whether you like him or not, Nowitzki said that McGregor is the most tested athlete in the UFC.
and when it comes down to it, is like he had like 30 something tests, you know, under USADA for a UFC contest, and I think he had like 13, might even been 14 different drug tests just for the Mayweather fight. So altogether, he's got like 49 drug tests, and he's never popped for anything in 49 drug tests. But just alone for the Mayweather, he had like 13 or 14, it was 10-plus drug tests just to fight Mayweather. So the fact that that guy said that is kind of just ridiculous to me. I just had to bring it up, not because I don't like to disagree with people just for the sake of argument. You know, a lot of the time I just go buy stuff that I disagree with, and I just don't even respond to it at all. You give it the time of day, because I pick and choose in my battles and which moments are really worth it. But that one just killed me, because that's a falsified statement, completely false. You know, it's not like I'm in the camp and I can tell you, but he wasn't. Okay, Floyd would not have fought the guy if there was any possibility that he thought that he was fighting dirty. Floyd, you would not have saw the fight. You can't pay him enough to fight a dirty fighter. Floyd makes enough money. Regardless, Floyd doesn't need to fight to make money. He makes money. He can go fly out to whatever that thing was that he fought for, not the one championship, the Ryzen, and go make $10 million or whatever to go beat up one of those young fighters. Or he can go make an appearance somewhere else or go do an autograph signing and make, you know, millions doing that. He doesn't even need to fight McGregor. So he can, you know, he makes so much money on endorsements and the TMT and the Mayweather promotions and all this stuff and the advertisements and sponsorship deal, whatever. He would not get paid to fight McGregor and make the money to fight a dirty fighter if he thought he was dirty. He would not have fought him. So that's just false.
And you know what? I have to concur with you, even though I'm not a big fan of Floyd Mayweather. First of all, Conor being a UFC fighter, he would have still been in the USADA testing cycle, being that he was still with the UFC. And any opponent that fights Floyd Mayweather is also in USADA testing cycle. So there is no way that Conor would even took the chance of testing positive for that fight. Because that is going to be the biggest payday, his single biggest payday for one fight in his whole life. Not just his life, his family's life, maybe his grandkids' life. And I don't see him jeopardizing that to use anything that would give him an unfair advantage. But this goes back to, in my opinion, people that are fans of the UFC that really don't know much about boxing. If you knew about boxing, there's no way you would have said that Conor was on steroids going into the Floyd fight, because everybody that Floyd has fought since Manny Pacquiao since Shane Mosley have been going through USADA testing. So, just to insinuate that Conor may have been dirty, it's kind of like defamation to me, because I don't see Conor risking that big of a payday to do something dumb. I'm not a fan of Conor McGregor. I'm not a fan of Floyd Mayweather. But both of them guys knew coming in that this was going to be one of their biggest paydays in life. So I respect Conor going into the fight, just taking a boxing match against Floyd. You know, I had him winning 4 to 5 rounds, I think. And he made a good showing for himself. And he did it cleanly. So shout out to Conor McGregor.
You know, another thing that I wanted to bring up too, you know, speaking of all the juicing and stuff like, and guys taking, you know, IVs to rehydrate their body and stuff like this, Paulo Costa, who actually, you know,
I saw a picture. You know, you never really know, like, who it is when someone posts a picture. Like, you know, you could post a picture and say, oh, this is that guy. But instead, like, if you don't see them, like, face front and you can see, like, that it's 100% them, you really can't tell if it's them. But I know a couple years ago there was a picture circulating, and it looked, you know, oddly similar to Paulo Costa, and he was sitting in a chair and he was receiving an IV, you know, in the build-up to one of his fights. I think that was in 2017. I think that was going into the whatever fight it was. You know, he hasn't fought anybody. So when he was fighting one of these, like, no-name guys or whoever it was that he fought, he had a picture of him getting the IV before the fight. So anyways, you know, in more recent news, he was supposed to be fighting Yoel Romero. And that fight is pretty much, you know, I said this on Twitter, and I kind of made myself laugh when I said this because I really thought about it. If you think about it, Lee, Yoel Romero and Paul Costa were supposed to fight numerous times. What'd you say?
Three times at least. I think it's been at least three times. I know it's been at least twice they're supposed to fight. And I saw your tweet, and it was kind of funny.
So, yeah, what I was just trying to say was, you know, this is the second most cursed fight in the history of the UFC. You know, it's coming up in second place. You know, it's coming up in second place just behind – And this is a close second. It's not far behind. This is a very close second behind Tiramisu and Ferguson. And and the crazy part is those two guys were supposed to schedule the fight like four times. And I think this is the fourth time also that Paulo Costa and Yoel Romero are supposed to fight now, because the third time I think was at UFC Sunrise in Miami-Dade County, and that fell through. That was supposed to be the main event. Then they end up getting, you know, Romero and Jacare. Then Romero fell out, and then they got Jacare and Hermanson. So now you have Hermanson is like probably a top five middleweight, which is like crazy. But anyway, so now they tried to book it again, and they booked it right now. It would be on the DC and Stipe 2 card. So Yoel Romero and Juicehead Turkey, they're supposed to be on the co-main. That would technically be the co-main event. You know, I feel like they'll probably get another title fight in there, and that won't be the co-main. But right now, it would probably be the co-main, because that's still a big fight. And when you have a fight, you know, fall through three times, the anticipation just keeps building for it. So I think Romero and Costa is a really big fight. You know, you have two guys who they they both look like they would be on PEDs, but you really don't know if they're really on PEDs. But the way that they fight, you just sometimes think that maybe they are. You know, Romero, I've become a Romero fan. When I first started watching him, I wasn't a fan of him, but he's built my respect over time. Costa has not built my respect. You know, I think that he's in over his head with this fight, and he has fought nobody. We talked about this on one of our earlier shows, probably like two or three shows ago. We just really basically said, who has he fought? He has fought nobody. If you look at his only two fights where he fought people that anyone even knows or even is checking for, he fought Johnny Hendricks and he fought Uriah Hall. Johnny Hendricks, I don't even know. Yeah, those are the only guys that he fought. And then I'm just trying to think. I don't even think Johnny Hendricks' fight was even in the middleweight division. I think that might have happened at welterweight, and I think Costa might have moved up because Hendricks is a welterweight fighter. And I don't think he ended his career at middleweight and then went to the bare-knuckle boxing. I don't think that was his career move. So, what's it called? So then he fought Uriah Hall. So Uriah Hall, Costa's only fought Uriah Hall. I don't even know what other guys he's fought, and I don't even care. But I'm just telling you, I think he's in over his head against Romero. I think he's going to lose badly. He's going to lose very badly.
and all the hype train fans are the same fans who jump on the hype train every time it comes, you know, rolling around. Hype Train Express are gonna place bets on Costa, and you're gonna lose money. And just remember that I told you that on Lee and Keys Real Talk. Remember that I told you you're gonna lose money betting on Costa. He's gonna lose very badly. Romero is gonna devastate him. It's interesting that Tony Ferguson's nickname is more or less the boogeyman. I think Romero's really the boogeyman of the UFC. Would you agree?
Only thing I gotta add to that is I think this fight has become more personal, and I think emotions will definitely play a part in the build up to this fight, because both of these guys have said some things about the other guy. And, you know, I know Paulo Costa was felt offended that Yoel Romero accused him of using steroids. That's why their last fight was called off, even though the fight was called off because Paulo Costa was illegally using IVs to rehydrate itself, which is definitely outlawed by the UFC and USADA. So I think whoever that can control their emotions in this fight has the better chance of winning. I like Yoel Romero to win this fight, but Yoel Romero has a tendency of going second. And what I mean by that, he's a counterpuncher, counter-reactor during his fights. He doesn't want to do that against Paulo Costa because of the power that Paulo has in his hands. So I would see Yoel Romero probably switching up, probably being more aggressive as far as takedowns against Costa. And I would say his experience will probably wear him to fight, because Yoel has fought a lot of top guys, and Costa has really only fought, I would say, one and a half. I would say half of Johnny Hendricks and Uriah Hall. So I give him one and a half. I hope this fight happens, because it might be a good sign for us to finally get Khabib versus Tony Ferguson, because maybe we break one curse, then we could break a second curse. So I'm hoping that this fight happens. Am I looking forward to seeing the fight? I would say yes, only because I like watching Yoel Romero fight.
What did you say?
I said, am I looking forward to this fight? Am I looking forward to watching this fight? I said I would say yes, only because I like watching Yoel fight. Yoel Romero is a top-flight competitor inside the octagon. All you got to do is go back and watch Romero versus Whitaker 2, and you will gain a newfound respect for Yoel Romero. He lost the first two rounds easily. The third, fourth, and fifth round, you saw a guy, he had no chance of winning the belt because he didn't make weight. But you saw a guy that came out there and put it all on the line to win the fight. I had him winning rounds 4 and 5. I had Whitaker winning round 3 because of Whitaker's early work. So I had it 3-2, even though Yoel Romero was probably in the championship rounds more dominant than Whitaker.
That's what I thought. That's why I was surprised when when it went the other way. I really thought Romero did enough in probably round 3, 4, and 5 to take the fight. But the one thing that I said was I thought it came down to the round 3. You know, really, like, whoever took 3 rounds to 2 came down to round 3. Because I thought Whitaker started out more dominant round 1 and 2. Then 4 and 5 I gave to Romero. So then it really came down to round 3. And I'd have to watch it back. You know, I hope when they can, maybe they can release that as a free fight or something like this. Or maybe when Whitaker fights Adesanya, they can release that fight on YouTube as a free fight so I can watch it back and decide really who won the fight to me, because that was a really good fight. You know, that was an awesome fight. And Romero almost had Whitaker in a couple moments in there. So Romero's not, he's a scary guy, man. I wouldn't want to fight that dude. He's a really scary guy.
Yeah, I like your Romero, man. I think guys that have a deep fighting background, what I mean by that is have more than 10 fights in the UFC, I think guys like that you can put stock into as far as being competitive, fighting the best of the best, knowing that when they come into the octagon, they're going to give it their best, and they're going to compete at the highest level. And I think in that fight, Yoel Romero could have just packed his tent and left, because there was no way he was getting the belt because his inmate was weight. He could have just said, well, forget it. There was no win for him, really, except to win the fight. And in the third, and I want to say, in the late third, fourth, and fifth round, you saw all the winner in him come out in that fight. I gave the third round to Robert because of his early action. A lot of people that gave Romero the third, fourth, and fifth rounds gave him the third round because of his flurry at the end of the third round, whereas I felt like it was just a flurry. It wasn't sustained. Like Robert's attack in the third round. That's why I gave Rob the third round.
Hey, actually, one guy just posted a. You know, one thing that I want to bring up too that I saw was that, you know, there's another fight that's been added to UFC 239. There's actually been a couple fights that have been added to UFC 239. That card, they're just really stacking that card to the heavens, man. I can't even believe it. And one of the fights that they just, like, announced today is a guy that you've been talking about on here a little bit lately. You haven't been talking about him in terms of – I don't really think you were expecting him to fight again. You actually said that he should do, like, a commentary, him and, you know, Gilbert Melendez.
I saw that.
Yeah, they got Gilbert Melendez is fighting Arnold Allen at UFC 239 on the John Jones undercard. So I didn't expect him to be coming back, but I guess he's coming back. How do you feel about that?
I'm gonna say this in the most respectful way I can, because Gilbert Melendez has definitely been a fighter that has fought some of the best, lost some of the best, and all that good stuff. What you looking for? In your mind. But I think Gilbert Melendez, I think the UFC might be doing him a solid by giving him this guy so that he can go ahead and probably lay his gloves down in the middle of the ring afterwards to announce his retirement. Because Gilbert, I don't think he's fought in, what, about 2 years, a year and a half? It's been a while
Pretty sure last time he fought, I'm pretty sure he fought Jeremy Stephens, and Jeremy Stephens was kicking the legs off him. I think he injured his leg or something in that fight, the leg kicks. It was bad. He couldn't stand up.
So I'm thinking the UFC doing him a solid by letting him go out on his shield and letting him go back to doing TV, which he's really, really good at. If people haven't seen him and Dominique Cruz breakdown fights or fighter styles. Check it out. And I think that's what the UFC doing, man. I think they're going to let him go out one last fight, hoping that he gets the win, and then he can lay his gloves down in the middle of the octagon.
Wow. Yeah, that's I just read another crazy thing on Twitter, and this is I don't even know if we have time to even talk about this because this is just kind of blasphemous. But real quick, I just gotta bring this up to you because I just happened to come across it. So in Bellator, you got this guy. I don't really know how to pronounce his name, but Patricio Pitbull. Patricio Ferrer. Patricio Ferrer. He is the featherweight world champion in Bellator. And I'm pretty sure he beat Michael Chandler for his belt. And then I think they – I'm not exactly that sure because I'm not follow Bellator as closely. But I think this might be their third fight. This is either second or third fight. I think Pitbull beat Michael Chandler. And I think Michael Chandler beat him, and then now they're doing a trilogy. And this guy, this news come out, and it said, Patricio Pitbull expects to beat Michael Chandler at Bellator 221 on Saturday, then talk to DAZN about challenging Canelo Alvarez in a 160-pound boxing match.
Okay. Okay, you UFC guys, you MMA guys, y'all haven't learned yet that you will never beat a boxer in their game because you can't utilize all the skills you have learned through all your numerous training sessions, through all your numerous fights. All you can do is box in the boxing ring. If you can get a boxer to come down to the octagon, then we as fans will be thrilled about that. But as far as you going up and boxing a boxer in a match, yeah, good luck with that. And then you're going to take on probably one of the top 3 pound-for-pound boxers in the world right now. Yeah, bro. Good luck. Wish you the best. Stick to MMA.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, these guys, they just want to go for these huge fights and they're weighing over their head. You know, I don't know why they think every time you get like a big win or win a title now, it's like means you should go over to boxing. But, yeah, I think we need to just, you know, there's other stuff that I noticed here, but I don't even want to keep bringing it up. I just want to actually go into UFC 237 because we got to, you know, we almost forgot to do our predictions, man. So I'm going to pull up the card right now. And I'm going to go through this, and you can kick it off if you want. I'll ask you who you got in each of these fights.
Hold on. Let me pull it up. Yeah,
I got it.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, so I'm going to start with this one. So you have BJ Penn fighting Clay Guida. Who you got in that one?
I got the AARP in this one. Both old guys trying to fight in a game that bypassed them. I think this is going to be probably one of the hardest fights to watch. Because you're going to remember the best of these guys when they was at the top of their game, and you're going to see the worst of these guys in the octagon. I'm going to go with Clay Guida winning because of his activity, his energy, and because DJ might not be all the way focused because of his legal problems that he's going through right now. So I'm going with Clay Guida by decision.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I think Clay Guida is going to – I mean, it's just hard for me to even believe in. You know, aside from the legal issues and, you know, the mental aspect, I think it's hard for me to even believe in myself to tell it, saying that BJ Penn's going to win a fight. I mean, he's winless in, like, his last 10 fights or something. I think it's like 7, maybe 8 or 9. He's on, like, a huge losing streak. So this guy – it's hard for me. You know, BJ Penn, I remember playing as him on UFC Undisputed. He was, like, the best guy to play as on UFC Undisputed back in the day. That was, like, about 10 years ago. So that just kind of goes to show how long it's been since BJ Penn was really at the top of the game. But, yeah, he's definitely long past his time, and I think this fight will probably be the one that lets him know it's time to go. So for the next one, I want to ask you about this. You have Betch Correa is returning. I'm pretty sure the last time she fought was when she got head kicked by Holly Holm. I want to say that was the last time she fought. She got knocked out by Holly Holm by head kick. Now, Betch Correa is coming back to fight Irene Aldana. Betch Correa versus Irene Aldana.
I really don't know much about Aldana. But I know Beth Correa had a serious eye injury, and that has prevented her from fighting in the UFC. So I'm thinking that if Aldana is smart, she'll go after that eye. But I'm going to take Beth Correa, the UFC vet, to win this fight. And I'm going to say she wins by decision. I think Aldana will definitely come out of this fight as somebody we'll say keep an eye on down the road. And I think she learns from this fight and makes her a better fighter down the road. I'm going with Beth Correa by decision to be Aldana.
I didn't know Aldana is actually 5 inches taller than Correa. So I figure that'll probably, I don't know what the reach difference, but she's probably got a bit longer reach if she's that much taller. So she might be able to keep Betch Correa at a distance. You know, Aldana might be able to control the distance a bit more, so we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I'm going to go with you. I agree with – I think Correa is going to win by decision. She, you know, I think she'll want to – she'll be looking to come back in big fashion after being away for 2 years. So, you know, I've been a fan of Betch Correa for a while. I'm actually – you know, I'm happy to see her back, to be honest. I got Betch Correa by decision. I'm going with you. So the next fight I want to ask you about is these two guys. I definitely seen them fight, but I just don't know. Like, I can't remember each of their last fight off the top to really give a – Francisco Trinaldo. Actually, you know what? I'm going to wait. Hold on. So you have – you have Lil Nog, Antonio Nogueira. You got Nogueira coming in to fight Ryan Spann in the 205-pound division. Nogueira is 42 years old, and he's fighting a 27-year-old kid who's 6'5". How do you feel about that fight?
I'm going to keep it simple. Trinaldo wins by KO.
Well, I was asking you about the Nogueira and Ryan Spann. I know I said the Trinaldo, but I kind of went back because I skipped it. I missed it by accident.
But that's okay. I was gonna come back to Lil Nas, but I think Trinaldo wins by KO against Ferreira. Trinaldo's striking has definitely been very, very top notch in his last couple fights. I think Lil Nas, oh man, I really don't know because he's been up and down also. They fighting in Brazil. Damn, man, I really want to go with Spam, man, but I think I'm going to take Lil Nas because of the Brazilian crowd. He's fighting in Brazil. He's Brazilian. And that might be too much for a young Spam to overcome with the big light. So I'm going to take Lil Nas by decision over Spam.
Cool. You know, I'm gonna go with Nogueira by TKO. I think it's gonna be a second round TKO for Nogueira. He's gonna want to show up big. Now he may be, you know, rounding the end of his career potentially soon. So you never know. This might even be his last time being able to fight in his home country of Brazil. So you never know. You know, when the next opportunity he might have to fight on a Brazil card. So I think he's going to be looking to really make it, really, like, you know, put a staple in it and really make, you know, create a big moment, you know, for the fans of Brazil. For the Francisco Trinaldo, I'm going to go with you. I think Trinaldo will stop him. You know, I think Trinaldo on the feet, he'll be able to be enough to put him away. Now, this fight, the next one after that I was – very interested, you know, to get to. This is my boy, Thiago Alves. Man, I love watching Thiago fight, man. This is one of my favorite guys. I'm pretty sure this is the Thiago. I'm pretty sure this is the Thiago from the welterweight division. I'm almost positive that, you know, sometimes I get confused with a lot of these guys have similar names. Yeah, this is Thiago Alves from the welterweight division. All right, so this is the guy that I've been talking about. And, oh, wow, I didn't know he was actually a coach. Wow, Thiago's actually a striking coach at American Top Team? I didn't even know that. Wow. Guy's a coach. Okay. I didn't know that. So that's awesome. I mean, it's cool to see more experienced fighters. He's probably training, you know, the up-and-coming fighters and stuff like that. So that's pretty awesome to see that. The last time we seen Thiago Alves fight, he fought Max Griffin. And he wanted a decision over Max Griffin. That was a couple months ago, back in February. He's fighting Laureano Starapoli. I might have butchered the name a little bit. My bad. Laureano Starapoli or Starapoli. I don't know this guy.
That's what he looked like.
Yeah, I don't know this guy, but I know Thiago. I'm going with Thiago, man. Thiago's going to get this guy out of here. I don't care about all this. You know, this guy's probably good. He's 8-1, but, you know, it is what it is. You win some, you lose some. But Thiago's coming for you, and that's it. Thiago's going to do it. I don't know if by decision or knockout, but I'm taking my – I don't know by decision or knockout, but I'm taking my boy Thiago to win all day.
I'm not going against Thiago Alves either, even though I have cause to pause, because every time he gets the recognition that he feels that he deserves, he normally lays an egg. So if he was to lose, I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm going to take Thiago Alves also. Only reason I'm taking him because they're fighting in Brazil, and he's from Brazil. And normally most Brazilian fighters, they normally get super amped up for the fights in Brazil. So I'm going with you. I'm going with Thiago Alves, even though I don't feel 100% about it.
All right. So the next fight on our list, you know, this is – it's just all Brazil, man. We got three big fights, you know, for the Brazilian fans. I mean, we've already had a handful of big fights for the Brazilian fans. This is all big. But, I mean, you got three – two absolute legends of Brazil in these next two, Jose Aldo you know, a lot of people, to a lot of people, is the greatest, you know, fighter of all time. This guy, I think Aldo will go down as, you know, one of the greatest of all time, easily, you know, without a doubt. So Jose Aldo's fighting, you know, Alexander Volkanovski. Volkanovski's coming out, you know, this guy kind of just like broke through in the division a little bit. He just got a couple big wins. You know, he just beat Chad Mendez a couple months back, you know, by stoppage. So that was a big win for him. And this guy, you know, he reminds me a lot of Chad Mendez. To me, he just seems like a newer age version of Chad Mendez, similar style. You know, he's got the wrestling, background. He's pretty good on the feet. But, you know, I'm taking Aldo in this one. I think Aldo, you know, Aldo only got a few more fights left in his career, and this also might be the last time he ever gets the fight in his home country, especially on a pay-per-view. So, yeah, I'm taking Aldo. I'm taking Aldo by stoppage. I think Aldo TKO is what I'm going with.
Oh, man. Well, I put it on Twitter. I can't backtrack now. I'm going to take Volkanovski in an upset. Even though I'm not 100% sold on it, I just think Volkanovski is really, really hungry right now. He's really looking to get into the title picture. And I think Jose Aldo is just fighting for, you know, to add more wins on his legacy. Because as long as Holloway is the champ, you know he won't get a title shot. So I'm going with new blood. I'm going with Volkanovski to win via knockout in the fourth round.
Volkanovski by knockout. All right, yeah, no, I think that one's going to be probably, I think, fight of the night. You know, I think that one's definitely going to be fight of the night. Yeah, I definitely think this one's going to be fight of the night. Also, just a random shout-out. Shout-out to Paige Van Zandt's Sports Illustrated shoot, because I just got lost in the sauce, like, looking at one of the pitches, and, like, I forgot my own name and shit. Like, I forgot we were even on the air, because I was just seeing one of the pitches, and I, like, lost my whole train of thought. So, shout-out to Paige Van Zandt. Oh, my God, she is so beautiful. Like, I don't care about what none of y'all talking about over here. I don't give a damn what y'all talk about. Don't debate me about this, y'all. I'm going to block y'all if you say nothing about Paige Van Zandt's shoot, man. Y'all always got something bad to say about Paige. I'm sick of it. I'm done, man. I'm about to start giving blocks out. Don't say nothing bad. The judges are just having the days. All right, so anyways, get back to it. So Anderson Silva, show the Paige. You know, one of these days we're going to get Paige on Lee and Keys Real Talk. We're going to do it. Anyways, so Anderson Silva, Jared
Cannonier, yeah.
So Anderson Silva versus Jared Cannonier is the co-main event. This is a fire fight, man. This is a fire fight. Like, out in Boston, when we really like something, we say it's fire. So I'm not saying this is going to be a fire fight, which it might be a firefight, but I'm saying this is a firefight. Like, this is a dope fight because Anderson Silva still looks good. I was talking about this earlier. I still think he's one of the best guys in the UFC on the feet. He's still sharp. You know, he's still fighting in the matrix. And I think anything's possible with Silva in this fight, you know, but at the same time, anything's possible with Cannonier too, because Cannonier, I didn't know Cannonier was actually a heavyweight before. And then he moved down to light heavyweight, and then he wasn't really seeing success at light heavyweight. He was, you know, kind of taking losses left and right to the top guys. So then he moved down again to middleweight. He fought former World Series of Fighting champion David Branch. He finished David Branch, and I believe it was a first-round stoppage.
then now he's getting Silva. And this is just going to be crazy because Cannonier's got heavy hands, and Silva is, you know, one of the GOATs also, you know, right there next to Aldo. And, you know, I think those two guys will probably, you know, both go down to history as, you know, arguably top five MMA fighters ever. And this, you know, Silva fights in the Matrix. So Cannonier's got to just, like, land that perfect shot. Like, if he thinks that, like, he's going to, if he wants to put Silva away, he's got to land that perfect shot. And Silva can't showboat. If Silva showboats, he's going to get knocked out. He can't do that showboating thing that he did versus, he does it in a lot of his fights. And, you know, he was putting his hands down versus Adesanya, and he took a lot of shots on purpose. He opened up himself and took a lot of shots versus Adesanya on purpose, and that's okay. But if you do that versus Cannonier, I think he's going to knock you out. He's a lot stronger than Adesanya, if you want my personal opinion. I think Cannonier, this guy used to be a heavyweight. Adesanya was never a heavyweight. Adesanya is not even really a big guy. He's just tall and lanky. You know, that's no disrespect to Adesanya, but still, he's not. Cannonier is a lot stronger. If you say, I'd rather be punched by Adesanya than be punched by Cannonier. You know, I think if Cannonier lands a clean shot on you, he's putting your lights out. And that's, you know, him versus most guys. Just the way that he put David Branch away was kind of scary. So I don't want to see that happen to Silva. So he can't do that showboating thing, like where he got knocked out versus Chris Weidman. He can't do that. But, you know, right now I'm still taking Silva. I'm taking Silva by decision. I think Silva will win a unanimous decision. But if he showboats, Cannonier is going to put his lights out. So I'm picking Silva by unanimous decision, but I'm a little bit wary of the pick because if he showboats, because he's in Brazil and he's feeling, he's getting his lights put out. That's all I can say. You ready?
Yep. Okay. So, this is a hard one for me, Keys. I've been going back and forth on this one because I really like Cannonier. I really do like him. But I love Anderson Silva. I love the way Anderson Silva fought against Iggy. I thought he put up a valiant fight. I thought he didn't look rusty after being out of action for so long. I'm going to take Anderson Silva. Oh, man. Damn. I'm going to take Anderson Silva to beat Cannonier by unanimous decision in Brazil. And I say he has one more fight after this fight, and he retires from the game.
So you think Silva's going to take this one, then win one more, then retire?
Yep.
And by what means did you have Silva winning the fight?
Unanimous decision.
All right, so, you know, good luck to Silva. Please, no showboating. You know, I want to see you looking laser focused.
Laser focus, okay.
Yeah, no showboating. I want to see laser focus for you in full Matrix mode.
Oh, he's on the showboating.
And that means no leaving your hands down like you did versus Adesanya, because he's not Adesanya. This guy will knock you out.
He's going to showboat. So be ready, because he's going to be in Brazil. So there will be some showboating. Sorry to inform you. But I think he's going to take Cannonier real seriously, though. I don't think he's going to if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing in preparation for this fight, he'll know that Cannonier can put him on his back and he can lose. So I think Anderson Silva will showboat, but I think he will come out with a unanimous decision and he will beat Jared Cannonier.
So now we're on to the main event. So this feels like our longest predictions ever. Oh my God, the longest one in a while. We didn't even do all the fights. All the fights. So this feels like, wow, this must be a pretty decent card then. Rose Namajunas versus Jessica Andrade. Thug Rose. Yeah, everybody, Lee's going to be picking Rose because he just wants to hear DC yell Thug Rose. Thug Rose. So DC, Lee's picking Rose so he can hear DC on commentary.
Actually, I'm very skeptical about this fight because the champion is defending her belt in the challenger's backyard. So, me personally, I feel that Namajunas cannot let the fight go to the judges' scorecards because I think Andrade might get some home cooking. So, I want to go with Rose so bad. But everything in me is telling me Andrade. But I'm going to go with Rose Namajunas winning by a split decision in Brazil over Andrade, and the crowd leaves very disappointed.
Wait, who did you pick?
I just told you, Thug Rose by split decision.
Split decision, yeah. My bad. Yeah, no, this one, this is tough. You know, I think if Rose doesn't play it safe, you know, she can't. I don't think Rose can really, like, be on the offensive the way she was in the Joanna fights. I don't think that's a good idea because if she rush in like that, the way that she was, I mean, it worked versus Joanna, but I don't think that's smart to do versus Andrade because, well, first of all, I think Andrade has a bit more power than Joanna. So if you rush in versus her, she could catch you clean on the chin and drop you right there, and it could be over in the first round. Two is that if you rush in versus Andrade, she might just shoot low, pick you up over her head, and do that body slam that she does to these girls. Triple H, like WWE style power bomb that she basically does to these girls, like, is literally like unseen in the UFC. Like any women's divisions, you don't see moves like that. Like for how small, like Andrade, like these girls are muscular, but like they're still rather small. I mean, this is only the strawweight division. The way she's just picking these girls up and throwing power bombs in the octagon is unseen in these divisions. So she might just shoot low, pick you up over her head, Rose, and you might get Triple H style power bombed, and that might be the beginning of the end for you because we all know Andrade's top game is nasty. Her ground and pound is devastating. And if she gets that power bomb and then gets on top of you, the ground and pound is going to get nasty. And then you might also see a very quick TKO finish. So it's a very scary thing for Rose. I think she needs to play very smart and very defensive and counter-strike and don't get too much on the offensive. She can't afford to, like, lose her focus. Like, you can't not think for a second in this fight. Because the second that you take off, Andrade is going to be right there. You know, that's kind of the fighter that she's proven to be.
you know, lately in her last couple fights. She's really looked that way. You know, she's pretty much devastated her last couple opponents. So you can't take a second off in this fight, Rose, to win. So this is tough. You know, I'm going to go with Rose anyways. I think Rose is going to – I think Rose can win a decision because I think she will go in there and play it safe and be more on the defensive and just try to counter-strike because I think she's a smart fighter that way. And she might even try to go for a submission. I could see Rose winning by submission. So I'm going to take Rose either by unanimous decision or some kind of submission. I think that's probably the safest ways that she could go versus Andrade. I don't think she wants to get into a brawl and be throwing crazy hands, you know, taking shots from Andrade because she might get put away. So that's how I'm going to go. Rose, either unanimous decision or some kind of submission.
Oh, man. Man, I'm just so worried that she's fighting Andrade in her backyard. It's just something about that that just kind of sort of rubs me the wrong way. But if Rose does what she's supposed to do, she should win this fight. I just keep playing back in my head how she beat Joanna the last two times. So she's going to win, but it won't be in a dominating fashion. It'll be a split decision, and the fans of Brazil will be mad. And then we'll be talking about whether or not the judges scored the fight right. I think that's how this night ends. It'll be controversial as far as the judges' scorecard, but it probably won't be controversial pertaining to our thoughts. So I'm going with Rose again, man.
All right. So, you know, one last thing that I just want to say, you know, we pretty much covered everything from top to bottom on tonight's show. This was a really awesome show. This had that, like, episode 100 feel, even though it ain't episode 100 yet, but we're coming up on it. So don't sleep on Lee Keys Real Talk. And one last thing that I just want to say is my Celtics blew it. My Celtics blew it. Okay, I just read a stat, and it said that Kyrie Irving is like 5 for 18 for field goals right now with 0 assists. Kyrie, what in God's name are you doing out there? What is going on with the Celtics, man? I am so disappointed.
I'm watching the game right now.
Man, are they having a complete meltdown?
Kyrie is actually... Man, I hate to say this. Because I like Kyrie. Kyrie is kind of like delusional right now because the other day he shot 7 for 22 and he said, I should have took 30 shots. No. When you're not hitting shots, you become a decoy. You set up shots for your other teammates. And then maybe your game will come back around to being a facilitator for the team. Right now, Boston, oh man, I can't believe that they're not even being competitive against the Bucks. They hanging in there, they playing tough, but the only reason they playing tough is because of Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris. Those two guys have came out tonight to establish some toughness and to play defense. And that's the only reason why the Celtics in the game right now.
Yeah, well, that's disappointing. You know, I just noticed that stat line, and I just had to bring that up. Yeah, that really sucks. The Celtics, you know, they didn't look good when I watched them last Friday night either. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But that's a, you know, as terms for Kyrie, that's a piss poor attitude. And to say that is almost like – that's like back in the day when like – I can't think of the perfect example, but it's almost like if you were that kid in school who would like get in trouble or like the teacher would tell you not to do something, you would just do it again after she like already yelled at you out of spite, like just because you were mad that like you got spoken to.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of like what that is like. That's kind of what that was like with Kyrie right there. It's like you're just being a little brat. Like, you just sound like a spoiled brat, Kyrie. That really what that sounds like. Like, saying, oh, like, I, you know, my shooting's been awful, but I should have. That's really what it sounds like. So, you know, I was saying this before the playoffs. We need to get rid of Kyrie, and we going to get rid of him. After we lose this season, my Celtics going to do the right thing. We're going to bounce him. We might even bounce Hayward, too. And we're going to get back to what we had last season and let all the young bucks get out there, because those are the real players. Forget all these superstar wannabe, you know, prima donnas. Get these guys up out of here. Send Kyrie to go play with LeBron or somebody who is about that babiness that he's about, and then go send Hayward back to play with Utah or wherever he wants to go be, and then the Celtics will be good, man. I don't care about all these Hollywood basketball players making all this money, and you know, you got people in other sports that try a lot harder, and they don't make nearly as much money as you, but you have the audacity to be like that in the press and create that kind of character for yourself. It's just with just that careless attitude, just to even have the audacity to even do that is just a complete slap in the face to the city of Boston. So, yeah, Kyrie's pretty much not even a Celtic to me anymore. So, with that piss poor attitude, he can just walk. And that's my last note for the night. This was a great show, and we covered a ton of stuff. Everybody, I appreciate you for listening. Every time, you know, anybody who supports the show in any little way, I appreciate that. Everybody, like I always say, like Lee always says, stay positive. Love everybody. Love everybody.
Yep.
And one thing is pay it forward, because, you know, you never know the ripple effect of that little, you know, the deed that you did, the effect that might have on somebody's day and how they might be able to impact somebody else's day because of what you did. So, just try to think of that way instead of thinking me, me, me all the time. Just think about what other people might be facing and how you could maybe improve their situation. So just be positive and try to do little things for people. Little by little, we can make the world a better place. So that's pretty much the way I'm going to leave it off. And Lee, you can, you know, you could take it from here.
Well, you know, and my man Keith, episode 98, love, live, laugh. Tell somebody that you love them. Live your life to your fullest. And everybody should laugh at least once every day. Thanks for tuning in to our show. Me and my man, King.
Wait a second. One more thing before you finish. I don't mean to cut you off, all right? This ain't like no Kanye at the VMAs or nothing like that. But I just got to tell you this, all right? The Bruins. I forgot about the Bruins, everybody. Hold on.
Yeah.
There's a sign of life in Boston. I forgot about the Bruins, right? I meant to say this. So the Celtics are falling off the deep end right now, right? But the Bruins are kicking ass, yo. The Bruins are crazy. If you don't watch hockey, you should probably tune into, like, the next game or whatever, because you got to see the Bruins, man. If you have a chance, you got to watch these Bruins. They've been kicking ass, yo. So basically, I'm going to put it to you like this. I don't know a lot about the NHL, but they told me this. They said the best team in the NHL this year was who was the best? The Tampa Bay Lightning. The Tampa Bay was the best team in the NHL this year. They went into the playoffs and they got swept. Yeah. They got swept in the first round by the Columbus Blue Jackets, and then the Bruins. You know, we beat the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then we had to play the Blue Jackets. So we basically just bounced the Blue Jackets in six games. So the team that swept the best team, we just bounced in six games. And now and the game six was a 4-0 shutout it was a 3-0 shutout. So we just bounced them. So now we're gonna go and play for the conference title, and then if we can win that one, then we're going to the Stanley Cup. So everybody just appreciate, all right? The Celtics is one thing, but the Bruins are picking up the slack that the Celtics are putting down, and that's okay. So Boston has a sign of life, and I just wanted to put that out there. And now, Lee, now, my bad to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, man. Oh, my man Keys. Woo. my man Keys. I'm going to let that be. And I'm going to say that I need everybody to stay tuned to me and Keys' show and our posters on Twitter, because episode 100 is around the corner, and me and my man Keys would definitely bring the fire for episode 100, and we want all you guys to tune in. Even if you just call in and listen to the show, that'd be great. But we want to get as much fan interaction on episode 100 as humanly possible. So tune in two episodes away for episode 100. And to my man Keys, I want to say thank you for being my brother on this show, for being a positive influence on me on doing this show. And let's keep going, and we're going to be bigger and better going forward. To everybody listen to our show, keep supporting us. We need to support, and also support us on the Scrap News, as we are having a friendly competition. And, you know, go out and read my man Key's articles. Go out and read the boy articles and give us your support. And closing out tonight, I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Peace.